From NPR and WBUR, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now, and we are watching Hurricane Joaquin bearing down on the Bahamas and maybe soon the east coast of the United States. It is a Category 3 storm right now, but some are preparing for the storm to strengthen.
Okay, so we're going to hear a lot more about that. But also today, Russia launched new airstrikes in Syria. Yesterday, they said the strikes were only attacking ISIS militants. But today, a spokesperson for Russian President Vladimir Putin admitted that Russia's airstrikes in Syria are targeting not only ISIS militants, but also other groups not affiliated with ISIS who oppose President Bashar al-Assad, who, of course, is supported by Russia and not by Syrian rebels or the U.S. Here's Republican Senator John McCain on CNN today.
I can absolutely confirm to you that they were strikes against our Free Syrian Army or groups that have been armed and trained by the CIA, because we have communications with people there.
Jim Walsh is Here and Now security analyst and with MIT Security Studies Program. So he has communications, but we also have this Russian spokesperson saying this. You say what?
Well, I say it's hard to hide an airstrike. You know, it's going to show up when you do it. And Syria actually, as conflict zones go, has a lot of monitors, a lot of people who are reporting in independent websites. And if you looked at how the Russians were organizing their forces, they were organizing them in a way that led you to believe that that's where they would be used.
Yeah, well, so I chuckled, but not because this is funny. Obviously, this is very serious.
Yes.
We could see the results if these tapes are purporting to show the results are true. You know, people are under rubble on the ground. But what happens now? You know, the U.S. can't give anti-aircraft equipment to the rebels that the U.S. supports to shoot at the Soviet planes.
I mean, I think people in Congress will push for that. I think the U.S. is going to be reluctant to do that for fear that those weapons will fall into others' hands, as we've seen
in this conflict. Well, also, it will draw the U.S. and the Russians more into a conflict.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's going to get more complicated here, but so far this is the way it's divided up, and you can almost see a certain logic to it. The Brits, the French are attacking ISIS. In some ways, that frees Russia to focus on Assad's other threat, which is the Free Syrian Army. Mm-hmm. You know, both the Free Syrian Army and the extremists are battling Assad. We're attacking one. Now he's going to take the opportunity to attack the other. But let me underline, I think the reason why we're seeing this now, the big picture here, is that Assad is losing. You know, he's lost 80% of the territory that used to be Syria in strategic retreat, lack of manpower, boots on the ground from his own sources. And so it makes sense that the Russians are trying to step in to save their ally.
Can they?
You know, if you're sitting in Moscow, this looks like, well, this could have certain tactical advantages. It could improve our bargaining leverage. It makes people stop talking about Crimea. Better to fight them there than in the Caucasus. But I think if you step back, this seems like a really bad idea. If you're Russia, what you're essentially saying is, I'm a foreign power. I'm going to now go into a fractured Arab country, defend a dictator who is guilty of war crimes and does not have the popular support of the people in the country. And how does that end exactly? What's stage 2 and 3 look like? I think that needs to be thought through for the Russians.
Well, but you know that one of the ways people are increasingly saying it ends from all across the political spectrum is that the U.S. has got to admit that maybe Assad stays because there's no one right now to replace him.
You know, I am just deeply skeptical about this idea. Here's why. Let's say you get some political agreement that's negotiated in Geneva or Vienna. Does that mean ISIL is going to stop fighting? Does it mean Turkey is going to stop supporting the rebels in Syria? Saudi Arabia is going to do that? These guys aren't going to quit just because diplomats in a European city come up with an agreement. I think, you know, I don't see how it ends, frankly.
Well, is a third possible way that the Russians maybe come to their senses in your point of view and instead do what they said they were doing, which is attack ISIS along with the coalition, France, Britain, largely the U.S., and maybe the rebels do get to exist, but so does Assad.
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's a pretty tall order. I don't see that happening anytime soon. All I know is, if I'm Russia, I'm pouring more troops and material in. I'm going to kill a lot more Arabs. I think there's probably going to be consequences to that.
Yeah, for the Russians.
For the Russians.
And meanwhile, if you were the U.S., I know you have channels.
Yes.
What are they saying at the Obama White House?
Well, you know, I just had a meeting with President Rouhani when he was in town for the U.N. General Assembly. He talked almost exclusively about Syria.
Yeah.
Yes, of Iran. And we talked exclusively about Syria. And his notion was, well, we have to have priorities. The first priority is to get rid of ISIL, ISIS. And then we'll talk about reforming the Syrian government. That's code word for dealing with Assad that no one actually likes. Even his allies don't like him. But I don't think the U.S. can stomach a policy where we just let us – the first thing we do is we kill all these ISIL people and then at the very end begin to address Assad's position, because he'll already be secure by that point. I just don't see how these positions add up.
Security analyst Jim Walsh, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.